this, and we have something special going on immediately after our services this morning. We're going to be having dessert time. Now, back when Cindy and I were living in Florida, there was a restaurant there who had a slogan that said, "Life is uncertain. Eat dessert first." And since we all know that life is uncertain, I mean, that's a biblical truth, right? Okay, so before you go out, if you're going to go out and have lunch today, you eat dessert first, because who knows, you may not live to have lunch today, okay? So we're going to have dessert. Actually, it's a birthday celebration for all those who have a birthday in the month of April, and so immediately after we're finished this morning, we go to the fellowship hall, and we have cake and coffee and other desserts in there for us to share in that. The other big thing that we have coming up, in case you haven't noticed, is Ladies' Day this coming Saturday. And so, ladies, if you haven't gotten any information about that and you don't know what's going on, then see Cindy and she'll fill you in with all the details and what you need to know and so forth. Guys, I need your help Saturday as we serve lunch for the ladies. So if you can help serve lunch, then please let me know so that I know how many guys I have on hand. And remember that dress for the guys is dress, black dress pants, white dress shirt, and a black bow tie. If you don't have a bow tie, see me. I've got some to loan out. But we need lots of waiters. And that's what we'll be doing. So, guys, if you can help out with that, we certainly would appreciate that. I know the ladies would appreciate it tremendously. So that's what's going on this coming weekend as we have looking forward to Saturday. Great big event, 100 to maybe 150 ladies here on Saturday. So keep that in mind, all right? Okay, we're going to be talking about what God does not withhold from us. And today, we're going to be talking about God, the great non-withholder, is what I'm referring to that as in today's lesson. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but here's a couple of other things real quickly to remind you of. This evening, 5 o'clock, is Second Sunday Bible study over at the Funk's house, and that will be a study that we'll do, discussion study based on the lesson that we're doing this morning. So we have opportunity to meet over there. 5 o'clock this evening. And then next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock is our third Sunday family movie night. Brian will be showing this movie, The Stray, 5 o'clock right here in the auditorium. So those two events are coming up, so keep those in mind also. And again, invite folks to come and to share that, all right? These are not just for us, they're for everybody. So invite your friends and family and so forth to come out and share with us, all right? So, last week on Easter Sunday, we were talking about the whole idea of how God, just like Abraham, did not withhold his son from us. Abraham, as you recall, God had made a promise to him, and that fulfillment of that promise was to be through his son, Isaac. But yet God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, up to the mountain and to sacrifice him there. And so Abraham obeyed God and was prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar when the angel came to him and told him to stop. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And so as we began talking about this idea of God not withholding his son from us, that's why we're here, because God did not withhold his son from us. And what we just remembered, what we just went through a moment ago, the communion, we celebrated remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus came. Why? Because God did not withhold Jesus from us. Well, what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks is looking at what else does God not withhold from us. He did not withhold his son. He gave him as the sacrificial lamb of God's providing so that your sins and my sins could be washed away, that we would have eternal life in Christ Jesus. But there are other things that God does not withhold from us. And I think that sometimes, and the reason I want to do these lessons, this series of lessons, is because I think sometimes we know about these ideas and we read these words in the scriptures and so forth, but what do they really mean? And what is the impact for us in terms of God not withholding these from us? I think a lot of times the other thing we do is we look at, well, God blesses me in this way and that way and so forth. But do you ever think about it in that terms of the fact that God, not only does He give us things, but there's a lot of things He does not withhold from us. There are things like grace. We talk a lot about grace, but do you realize the significance in the fact that God does not withhold His grace from us? What would it mean if He did? How about His Holy Spirit? We talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. You realize that God does not withhold His Holy Spirit from us, that God's Spirit lives and dwells within us. How about eternal life? That God does not withhold that from us. Because it's not like, you know, God tells us, here's how I want you to live, and you live all your, you try as best you can, not that you're earning anything, but you live your life trying to serve God, and then you get to the end, and He goes, I'm sorry, you didn't make it. And He's going to withhold eternal. No, He won't do that. God does not withhold eternal life from us. How about the victory? We've been talking about that in our Bible class on Sunday morning in Revelation. The fact that that's what we have to look forward to, the victory in Christ Jesus. That the whole theme is what? Say it with me. Things are bad. They're going to get worse. But in the end, what? The victory is assured. God will not withhold that victory from us. You see? And how about justice? God does not withhold justice from the world. When the time comes in God's righteous judgment, justice will be meted out. And God doesn't withhold His strength from us. Okay? How many of you ever struggle with anything in life? Everybody's hand should be up, by the way, okay? If it's not, then come see me. I want to find out what you're doing. Okay? All right? And yet it is God who does not withhold His strength from us in the time of trouble in our life. And there are a lot of other things that God doesn't just give to us, but the fact that He does not withhold these things from us. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. God as the great non-withholder. We start out in the text that was read for us this morning in Romans chapter 8. But let's go back a few verses first of all. Okay, and notice this verse that's probably familiar to most folks, at least a lot of folks, okay, where Paul gives us this assurance, right, that he says we know that in what? All things. How inclusive is that? We talk about that a lot. Is there anything that is excluded from all things? The answer to that is no, right? So he says in all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who what? Are called according to His purpose. What does Paul really want us to understand from this particular statement? First of all, that God is working for us. Did you realize that? God is on the job. He is working for you. And primarily what God is working, and by the way, has been working on since the beginning, is our salvation. God never ceases working for our good, especially as it pertains to our salvation. We need to make sure that we don't misunderstand, and that's what happens. A lot of people misunderstand this verse when he says he works together for good, that everything that goes on in our life is going to work out good. Well, we need to understand what good is, okay? Because it may not be good in terms of what we want it to be. In fact, sometimes it may be looking bad. Does that mean that this isn't true? No, what it means is that God is always, and we've talked about this before, how because of His nature of love, He cannot do anything that is not in our best interest. So in that way, even if it turns out bad, in other words, it doesn't work out the way we want, it is still in our best interest. We need to remember that. God does not promise anywhere that I know of in Scriptures that He's going to work everything out in a quote-unquote good way, the way we oftentimes think, so that we like the outcome. If that were true, nobody would ever die. Nobody would ever get any diseases or anything like that. If they did, then all of them would just be cured and taken, and we know that's not true. So we need to make sure we understand what Paul is saying here. This primarily in the context is talking about our salvation. God works that out for our good, for those who love Him. Okay? And then, beginning in verse 31, he says this: if God is for us, who can be against us? Okay? Now, let that thought just kind of sink in a little bit. All right? What does that really mean? That there is no power on earth, no power in the universe that can stop God's plan for your life. And notice the last part, when you remain under His will. Okay? By His very nature, this is true, because He is God. He is all powerful. So, I guess another way to look at this, well, I have another one here, in verse 32 here. He, that is God, who did not spare, or another word for that is withhold, His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, that is, along with His Son, graciously give us, and here it is again, how many things? All things. All things. In other words, He will not withhold from us, from you, from me, from any of us, what we need, especially as pertaining to life and godliness. Here's the other way to look at that. As long as you know that no one can stand against God, that God is for you, isn't this true? It doesn't really matter who's against you. Say, well, who's the enemy? What difference does it make? When God is for us, it doesn't matter who the enemy is, because there is no power on earth that can overcome God. I don't know about you, but that is tremendously reassuring to me. I don't have to worry about that, because as some people term it this way, God's got this. Okay. Now, when I forget that, and sometimes I do, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you are like me and you forget it too, and I try to do it on my own, then I've got a lot to worry about. Because the Bible doesn't say that there's nothing that I can't handle myself. Okay? It says that God can't handle. And that's a huge difference. The problem is that so often we find ourselves relying on self rather than God. Okay? But when we truly are focused and relying on God, there's nothing that can defeat Him, and therefore nothing that can defeat you. God gives us everything that we need. But how does He do that? How does God give? Well, Jesus makes a statement that indicates to us that He gives in a very different way than the world gives. Okay? So we need to understand that. Look at what He says in John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. And then He says this: I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So Jesus makes a distinction. Now, he's talking to his disciples at a time just before he goes to the garden where he's arrested and then ultimately tried and crucified. It's just before that he makes this statement to his disciples. And he offers them peace. And he says, but I'm not giving you peace like the world gives. So there's got to be something different, doesn't there? Well, that basically tells us there are two different standards of giving, if you'll allow me to call it that. All right, two different standards of giving. First of all is the world standards. Okay? Now, the world standards would be something like this. My love for you is unconditional. Right? You notice something about that particular picture on there? There's an asterisk there, isn't there? You know what an asterisk means, don't you? That means there's something else in the fine print. You know, you get a contract and it says all this big stuff, and then there's the fine print. Do you see the fine print there at the bottom? Certain conditions apply. And if you think about it, that's basically how the world gives, doesn't it? You see, I'm going to give this to you unconditionally, except there are conditions. That's what the world does. So it is not really, truly unconditional. It's conditioned based upon, most of the time, what we do. Okay? That's the world's way to give. But God's standard is this. Totally and completely unconditional. By definition and by His nature, as I mentioned a moment ago, when we've talked about this, the word agape describes God. It says God is agape. He is love. Not that He just has love, and it's not that He just gives love. He is love by definition. And by that word in its meaning, that it is unconditional. So in other words, God does not say, if you jump through all these hoops and you do all these things and you behave this way and accomplish all these things, then I'll give you my love. No. God loves us in spite of ourselves. He never stops loving us. His love is totally and completely unconditional in that way. And that's the difference between the standard of the world and why Jesus says, I don't give to you like the world gives. Because the world oftentimes gives and then takes it right back again because we didn't meet the conditions. God will never take His love away from us. Because His love is totally and completely unconditional. Well, we ask, what's the difference in that? Well, okay, a little bit of difference humor here, okay? What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo? All right, one is a little heavy, the other's a little lighter. I just wanted to make sure you were still awake this morning on me, okay? So I thought I'd put that in there. Let's talk about peace. Jesus says, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you, but not as the world gives. So Jesus is talking about giving us peace. It's one of those things that He does not withhold from us, is peace. And yet the world offers peace, doesn't it? But there are certain terms and conditions for world peace. And if you go around and you talk to people and you ask them, especially at a beauty contest, right? All the contestants, what do they tell everybody they want? World peace. Everybody wants world peace. But in order to have that peace, there are certain conditions that apply. We have to come to terms, so to speak, in order to be able to enjoy peace. But that's not what God gives to us. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4 that God has a peace, and he says, it surpasses or passes all understanding. In other words, basically, it doesn't make any earthly sense or any worldly sense. That's the kind of peace that God gives to us. Not the kind that makes sense when everybody's agreeing and meeting the conditions and the terms. God gives us a peace that doesn't make sense to the world. Because that peace can come in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trial and tribulation, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of whatever you might be facing in this world, God can give you peace. He will not withhold that peace from you. I know. It doesn't make any sense, does it? That's why he says it passes all understanding. But that's the very nature of God, isn't it? He will not withhold that from you. In your deepest hour of need, God's peace is there. If you will allow Him to surround you with it. If you will allow Him to let it guard, as He says here, your heart and your mind. Because after all, when we're struggling in turmoil, when we got bad stuff going on, you know, we've talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and when we're in the ugly part of life, and we've all been through it, and we're all going to go through some more, where's the most difficult place that we're having to deal with? It's our heart and our mind, right here. You see? Those two places. But God says, I'm going to give you a peace. I will not withhold this peace from you that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, no matter what you're going through. No matter how ugly life gets. And the world just simply cannot understand that kind of peace. Let's talk about good gifts to those who ask. Right? Good gifts to those who ask. Jesus tells us, ask and it will be what? Given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. That is instruction from Jesus. Okay? That He's telling us to ask, to seek, and to knock. Right? In other words, think about it this way. God has blessings that He wants to give us. He wants to give you in your life. Gifts, in other words. But some of those gifts, some of those blessings, God wants us to ask for. Some of those blessings, He wants us to seek out from Him. And in order to receive some of those blessings, those gifts, we need to knock on heaven's door. Follow me? Ask, seek, and knock. Now, you know, we may say, well, hey, if God knows that I need them, why didn't He just give them to me? Well, we're going to talk more about that this evening in our discussion time, but let me just throw this out at you. Sometimes the blessings that God wants to give us, He wants to make sure we know and understand we need them first. Rather than Him just throwing them at us and we miss them because we're not paying attention. And here's this idea. I don't know about you, but Cindy really, really enjoys giving good gifts to our grandchildren. Okay? I don't so much. I'm going to have to repent of that one too. You know, we do, don't we? Don't we just love to give our children and our grandchildren gifts? We love to pour out those blessings upon them, don't we? And the feeling is great. We love to see their faces. They light up when we give them. And it doesn't have to be anything really big or anything. It's just the fact that we gave them something. A gift. It's really special. And we get a tremendous amount out of that, don't we? And think about it. We're just people. And we enjoy that tremendously. Well, we need to understand and know the Bible tells us we cannot outgive God. Okay? Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Okay? Which of you, this is after that ask, seek, and knock. Okay? After He's told us to ask, seek, and knock, here's what He follows up with. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, look at this, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? How much more? If we know how to do that, and we know the joy and the pleasure that it gives not only the giver but the receiver, we know that as human beings, how much more does God know that? That's what Jesus is saying here. We think it's a great thing when we give somebody a good gift. How much more that God can do in blessing our lives? Why? Because He does not withhold from us. He wants to give us blessings and gifts in our lives because He loves us. Same reason we like to give our children and our grandchildren gifts, because we love them. How much more does God do that? What an awesome, awesome God we have. Amen? That does not want to withhold anything from us. James writes to us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You got a good gift? Where'd it come from? From Him. See? I like this right here. Every day is a gift from God. You think about it. What does God not withhold from you? The very breath that you are breathing right now. And every day is a gift from God, and that's why they call it the present. Okay? It's a present from God. We need, though, to be careful in our asking and our seeking and our knocking. God wants us to do those things, to ask, seek, and knock. But we've got to be careful about doing that. And here's why I say that. Notice what James tells us in James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because. Because why? You do not ask God. And even when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So you see, God wants us to ask, seek, and knock, but we need to make sure that our motives are where they need to be in that asking, seeking, and knocking. If our motives are selfish, then we're in trouble. Okay? And we should not expect to receive whatever we ask for, as James says here. So we need to make sure that we do ask, and that we seek, and that we knock, but that we do so with the right motives in our heart. The God that you and I serve has no limits in the blessings that He can give us and wants to give us. No limits whatsoever. You and I need to be walking with Him. The psalmist says this, no good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. He does not withhold anything. Therefore, we need to pay attention to how we're walking. God loves us so much that He did not withhold His Son, His one and only Son, from us. And He has more blessings that He wants you to have, me to have in our lives. He will not withhold those blessings from us. We need to make sure that our walk is with Him so we can receive those blessings. How's your walk? How have you been walking lately? I want you to think about that. Wes has a song that we're going to sing as an invitation song. And I want you to be thinking about your walk. I want you to be thinking about the gifts and the blessings that God has in store for you, that He wants to give you. But it may be that one reason why you're not receiving some blessings is because you're not walking where you need to be walking. So you need to check your walk. And maybe if there's something about your walk that you need some help adjusting or getting back in line, let us know that. That's what family does. We help one another in our walk. Maybe someone here this morning who's not yet given their life to Christ, so you are walking outside of Christ, walking in sin. And if that's where you are, you shouldn't expect to receive any blessing from God, except the blessing of the blood of His Son if you choose to give your life to Him. And so if that's where you are this morning, the invitation is given to you. That if you are not a child of God, you're not walking with Him, you can begin doing that right now this morning. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And I'll be right up here in the front if you'd like to come up and share with everyone. Whatever we can do to help you draw closer to Christ, that's what we want to do. Let's stand together and sing. Wes?